Right, good evening. We're looking at a maimah which was originally said in 1968. It was said on the second day of Shavuot, of the Shavuot festival, and it was published by the Rebbe Mugol, checked in 1989. I believe that's what it says, yes. And so since we won't be having a meeting next week, next Tuesday night will be Shavuot, so we're looking at a Shavuot discourse rather than one relating to the coming Sedra. So the point from the Torah where it comes, where the Maimah, from which the Maimah springs, is the Ten Commandments. And so we've got the beginning of the Ten Commandments there in the page from the Chumash. Vayedaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'ele le'emor, God spoke all these words saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, Asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim, who have taken you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then continues laws, the law against idolatry, then in verse 7 the law against blasphemy, and then the law of keeping Shabbat, which goes over to the next page, and then honoring one's parents, not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to give false testimony, and not to covet anything belonging to anyone else. And all this comes after a remarkable description of the kind of intensity of the atmosphere there at Mount Sinai. And that will be read on Shavuot, on the first day of Shavuot, and it's a very spiritual moment. Everyone stands up when the Torah is being read, the Ten Commandments. The Rebbe strongly recommended that everyone should make an effort, even little children, babies, to come to shul, to be there at this giving of the Ten Commandments, because it's almost as if it's a reenactment. It's a reenactment of the first time of hearing the Ten Commandments. And the sages say that just as at the time of the original giving of the Ten Commandments it was with a tremendous spiritual feeling, so we can have the same spiritual feeling today. So the discourse will start from the first verse. So let's have the Maimah Nigun in order to enter into the mood of the Maimah. Oh, yam ba, yam bam ba, yam bam boom. Ho, yiram ba, yam ba, yom boom. Ha, yam ba, yam ba, yam bam boom. Ha, yiram ba, yiram bam boom. Ha, yo, ya, yiram ba, yam ba, ya, ya, yiram ba, yam ba, yam. Ha, yiram ba, ha, yiram ba, yo, yam ba, yam ba, yiram ba. Ho, ya, yam ba, yiram ba. Ho, yam ba, yo, yam ba, boom. Vayedaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'ele le'emor. And God spoke all these words, saying, Now the Alter Rebbe comments on this. Now in his book, in Likutei Torah, which is in the Sedra Bamidbar, in the Likutei Torah, and also in a discourse of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, from 1808. So he comments, Mahu omro et kol advarim ha'ele. Why does it say all these things? God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. You would have thought it would just say, Vayedaber Elokim, and God said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. So why is there, in other words, it would launch straight into the Ten Commandments. What is this little preamble at the beginning? God said all these words, saying, and then you have the Ten Commandments. So there's something or other before the Ten Commandments. What's that? Omavaya and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman explains, V'chol advarim ha'ela, the phrase, all these words, Kai al kol ha'Torah kula. It actually refers to the entire Torah. God said the entire Torah. Amazing statement, and there's reference to a place in the Talmud and in the Midrash, all quoted there in the Kotei Torah, Parshat Bamidbar. That this is the entire Torah, kolel kol ma she'talmid vatik, including all that a seasoned student, atid lechadesh, will in the future say as a new idea before his teacher. So there's a famous statement of the sages that everything, even that which the halacha, agadah, midrash, everything was said to Moses at Sinai by God, including even that which a seasoned student will say in discussion with his teacher as a new idea. You know, so you have a scholar, a seasoned scholar, discussing with his teacher. We're not talking here about a 12-year-old. We're talking about an adult, mature scholar having a discussion with the sage who is his teacher, and he brings out a new idea. All this was also told to Moses at Sinai. That's the phrase there, which is often quoted about the way in which the whole Torah comes from Mount Sinai. But over here, it's being used in a slightly different way, that as the introduction to the giving of the Ten Commandments, the ten separate commandments, there was this general statement which included the entire Torah which would ever, ever be. Fourth line, V'zer v'ayda b'lekim et kol advarim ha'ele, and that's what it means, God spoke all these words. The ba'aseret ha'dibrot, that in, because in the Ten Commandments, Anochi, etc., I am the Lord your God, do not worship idols, do not blaspheme, and so on. Nichlal kol ha'Torah kula, that in the Ten Commandments are included the entire Torah. So in other words, there is the introduction to the Ten Commandments, which is somehow the entire Torah, and then all wrapped up in, a few gigabytes. But which only took a moment to say. And then comes the Ten Commandments as ten separate commandments, but those ten separate commandments, even though they seem very specific about not serving idols and not blaspheming and keeping Shabbat and honoring parents and so on, they actually include the entire Torah. So everything is included, Shatnas and Pesach and all kinds of other things, love your neighbor as yourself, they're all included in these Ten Commandments. And one can suggest connecting this with Rashi's commentary on this verse. When it says all these things, Rashi comments, these words before Anochi, before I am the Lord your God, before the actual beginning, Hulamed is to teach us, Shekol aseret hadibrot ne'emru tchila b'dibor echad. That first of all, before the Ten Commandments were said as ten separate statements, they were all said as one statement. So there was one general statement that included all the Ten Commandments. That's what Rashi says. Va'achar kach chazal ferash. After that, God, so to speak, repeated kol dibur v'dibur b'fnei atzmo. Each of the Ten Commandments individually. The Tochnam Shoshne Purishim Hu. So in other words, here we have two different comments. One is by Rashi, and the other, obviously based on earlier sources of some kind, is that of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. And the content of both these comments is that the giving of the Torah, Netinat HaTorah, Haita B'derech Klal Ufrat. The giving of the Torah was in a way of something general and then something in detail. So that idea of the general and the detail. So that is basically the theme of this discourse. The general and the detail. So general is called Klal, and the detail is called Prat. So the general is the statement before the Ten Commandments, and then we have the detailed Ten Commandments which are communicated. Now, this discourse explores this general concept. But, Eila, however, שלפי פירוש רשי מדבר כתוב בעשרת הדיברות עצמם. According to Rashi's comment, the generality is just the whole Ten Commandments, nothing more than that. שמתחיל נאמרו בבחינת כלל, ואחר כך נפרטו כל דיבור ודיבור בפני עצמו. First of all the Ten Commandments were said in one go, and then they were said in separate statements. ולפי פירוש אדמו"ר הזקן, but according to Rabbi Shneur Zalman's comment, מדבר כתוב בפרטים בתורה. It's here telling us about the details of the Torah, שגם הם ניתנו תחילה בבחינת כלל. That the whole Torah was given in a general way, in the Ten Commandments, and then they were presented in a revealed way in detail. And this itself, ויש להוסיף, one can add, שגם זה גופה היה באופן דקלל ופרט. Even the further stages are a repetition of this approach, of there being something general and then something in details. Why? דתחילתם שלך והפירוט, דעשלת הדיברות, the beginning of the presentation of the Ten Commandments in more, as it were, spelling them out, is in the written Torah. The whole written Torah is a kind of presentation of the teachings of the Ten Commandments. Now, that is like a general statement, the whole written Torah. And after that, nifrad bepratiut yoter, then it becomes expressed in more detail in the oral Torah. Because the whole of the oral Torah is a commentary and an explanation of the written Torah. So therefore we have the written Torah and the oral Torah is another version of this relationship of the general and the detail. So we could maybe write that here. Written Torah and oral Torah. So those are two different ways of presenting the Torah. One in sort of broad sweep of the written Torah with its sort of dramatic dimensions. Then comes the oral Torah spelling things out in detail and what happens if this and how do you prove that. And then in the oral Torah itself, it's also in a way of general and detail. Because you have Mishnah. You see, in the Oral Torah, the way in which the Oral Torah works is that you have a Mishnah. You have a 4 or 5 line statement by the sages who lived before 135 of the Common Era, before the destruction of Yavne, usually. That's what the Mishnah is. And then comes the Gemara, the further discussion of what these sages say, where you have a 4 line Mishnah could be followed by 4 pages or 14 pages of Talmud discussing what that Mishnah says. And that then goes down through the generations. So there's more and more stages of general and the particular details. So we have to understand, since we have the idea that all these teachings were given to Moses at Sinai, this was God's original statement to Moses. Why weren't they given at the beginning in a revealed way? Why were they given only in the general way? Why wasn't the whole giving of the Torah in a complete way, as it were, all its details. Why is it given in this sense of something general, this general statement? I suppose you could imagine that there's a kind of a practical problem, you know, because the thousands of books go to make the full oral Torah. Well, it would just be so we would have somehow a larger Torah scroll. You know, look, God can do anything, and would have somehow organized that. But so the question is, why is there this pattern of the general and the details? So here we have the Ten Commandments. They are the detail, and then they become, and then we have their exposition in the written Torah, and so it goes on, as it were, stage after stage of general and detail. Now, one thing that's going to happen is it's going to look, the discourse is going to look at different aspects of this same structure of the general and the detail. And that's one aspect of it. And the other aspect of it, we're going to see images of the force of communicating. Sorry. The other is, we're going to see models, a model of this form of communication. And we're also hopefully going to see the positive effect of communicating in this way. All right. So the first thing is in Perek Bet, v'yuvin zeh mimah shemetzinu al derech zeh gam bebriyat ha'olam, we can understand this also from what we see concerning the creation of the world, that God looked in the Torah and created the world. That this was also in a way of the general and the particular. Because the sages tell us, Basara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam, the world was created with 10 statements. And then it speaks about the 10 statements are statements like, this is on the second page, with the word ha'olam at the top. Now, the 10 statements are statements like, let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Such statements. Then the Talmud says, the Mishnah says, V'halo b'mama echad yachol lebarot. Couldn't it have all been created with one statement? And there is a concept that the one statement, in fact, is the word Bereshit. Bereshit is also a statement. In fact, it's also one of the 10. But so you've got the idea that Bereshit, the word in the beginning, is itself a general statement. So that's another way of looking at this. So we've got Bereshit, the word Bereshit, and then the 10 statements which create the world, or 9, if you're going to be. So it's the statements with the detailed statements which create the world, and Bereshit, which is the general statement. Actually, it says the 9. It's the 9. Let's cross out 10. 9. Okay, the 9 statements which create the world. And so that's what it means when it says at the beginning, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the sages comment, the heaven and everything in them, the earth and everything in it, that all the created things came into being through the statement Bereshit. Because this was a statement, this word, Genesis, in the beginning, this word is the term, the general term, which includes everything else. And that was in general. And after that came the 9 further statements, which are in detail. And through that we have the created existence in separate detail. Now, this, as it is, in the actual creation of the world, so it is also in the source of existence, in the tenth sphere up. Because so the same way that we have the idea that Bereshit is the klal, is the general principle, so it is on many different levels. And the Jerusalem Targum, there are different Aramaic translations of the Torah. So there's a Jerusalem Targum where it says Bereshit, it uses the word Bechuchmata, with wisdom. And that's being explained here as the Sphira, the divine attribute, wisdom. That is the general principle which includes all the other Sphira. So that is wisdom. So that's another concept here. So we could write wisdom over there. But then there's yet another concept, because in the Targum Unculus, which is a standard translation, Aramaic translation of the Chumash, it says Bekadmin. Now, Bekadmin implies it literally means at the beginning, but here it's being interpreted more spiritually. This is the will of Keter, which is higher than Chochmah. This is the will of the crown, which is higher than wisdom. In other words, it's a higher level of the Sfirot. So we can call that Keter, crown. And in this quality of the crown, we have different spiritual levels, higher and higher and higher, going to ever more exalted levels. And so the discourse now sort of takes this higher and higher, that at every stage there is this general concept, and then there are the details below. And so, there's a sense in which it takes us up to higher and higher spiritual levels. And we move on to the next page. So that means, at every level, existence, the Sfirot, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, everything has got this quality of general and detail in this sort of spiritual background to the world and everything in it. Now, if this is the case, here we've also got a problem. Why should there be, why should it be in this way? Why not let there be all the details immediately? Why should there be Bereshit, the statement which includes everything? Why not just have the statements which create the world? Why does there have to be this general principle beyond? Now comes an image. In section Gimel comes an image in order to help us understand this, and this is a way that the Chabad discourses very often explore a spiritual question of this kind, is through the relationship of the microcosm and the macrocosm, and looking at a particular kind of relationship among human beings and extrapolating from that to a kind of a spiritual relationship beyond. The relationship among human beings is that of a teacher and a pupil. Now, the teacher and the pupil represents the flow from the teacher to the pupil. And we find that here too we've got the idea of the general and the detail. Because the sages say, the Amr Razal, Chazal, the sages say, La'olam yashani adam letalmidav bederech tzara. Person should always teach his student in a brief way. Now what does that mean, in a brief way? The one who is teaching has to try to find some kind of brief general concept in a short, pithy phrase which will include everything, from which he's able to communicate that idea. Now that's a very interesting piece of educational advice, that the teacher has to somehow think within himself and try and find what is the real axis of this entire teaching that I'm trying to say. And he tries to phrase that in a very brief and meaningful sense, and he tells that to the pupil. Then he starts explaining what that means, and little by little fleshes out this entire statement. It's a very good approach to teaching. You know, it's, you know, one can imagine it in practical terms, and I think good teaching practice would include this kind of thing. Whatever one were teaching, you know, you write on the board some statement which somehow includes the whole concept of what the whole lesson is going to be about, and gradually as the lesson goes on, people are able to focus on that statement, and as the lesson goes on, more and more meaning is attached to it as more and more detail emerges from it. And now, in terms of traditional Jewish teaching, the Mishnah is actually an example of this method. The very fact of writing the Mishnah by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and then this is explored by the Gemara. Now, one of the approaches to Talmudic study, which I don't know how much people actually do this, but it's an approach described by the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, is that when you've learned the Mishnah and then you've learned the Talmud, the Gemara, which is commenting on the Mishnah, look again at the Mishnah and try and see how all the details that have come out in the Talmud are actually there in a very subtle and hidden way in the Mishnah. You know, so enjoy the Mishnah as a very, you know, brief summary of everything that has come later. So that concept of taking all these of teaching in a way of the general concept and the details. Now then we have a further aspect of this. How does it work for the rabbi, for the rav, for the teacher who is trying to teach? He has to search within his own mind in order, and this is really the test of the stature of the teacher. He has to search within his own mind in order to find that principle that he's going to be able to explain, which even a five-year-old child can understand. And then he will be able to flesh that out. So there is, in Chabad thought, it doesn't actually mention it here, but there is the idea that the greater the teacher, the more he is able to make a vast jump in his teaching. You know, so a middling mathematician can teach people who are degree students, but a great mathematician can teach a little child because he's able to find, you know, even though he's talking about something extremely subtle and which really needs many years of learning, one stage and then another stage and then another stage, but he's able to somehow find the central axis of this whole concept and communicate it in such a way that even someone who knows nothing at all is able to relate to it. So that's some kind of process taking place within the teacher. Now, there's an interesting issue whether the teacher's understanding of his subject in itself is an understanding which is in order to teach, or is it simply the teacher understanding it for himself? So there's another kind of jump, as it were, where the teacher is trying to he has to make some kind of leap that he's actually the way in which he tries to find the summary of this is in order to communicate it to another person. So there is the idea that the more you are able to communicate an idea to someone else, the more you understand it yourself. And in the process of communication, the finding of an image or something or other in order to make this transfer of thought draws from a deeper level of the original idea, and you end up understanding the idea more yourself because you've struggled to find a way to communicate. Now, all this is compared above. That means that's on Ostalad, where we have the spheres in relation to the higher levels, whether it's the 10 Svirot and Keter, or wisdom and then Keter and then higher and higher. So you have a process of Tzimtzum. There's a process of hiding of the radiance, this famous Lurianic idea that there is some kind of concealment of the radiance so as to get just at a tiny point of light, as it were, like the point of light in wisdom, and then from that will come the general communication, which is the whole spreading out of the Sfirot, of the divine emanations, the creation of the world, and so on. There's an intriguing discussion in section Hay about the way in which in existence any step is there in order to create all these different steps. The very fact that there is a word, Keter, or something like that, these Kabbalistic terminology, they all arise as part of the process of God somehow bringing everything into being. You know, if God's not bringing in anything into being, then we're on a higher level than these than this Kabbalistic terminology, and it's just beyond. It's beyond. It cannot be described in any way. It moves out of our canon altogether. Whereas in the teacher, the teacher might well be thinking just to himself. There's a sense of the lonely teacher, where the teacher is not actually communicating, and he's, if I understand this part of the discourse properly, and he's just thinking to himself. There are ideas which are too subtle to be, or too something. I don't know if subtle is the word, but the teacher wants to communicate. And well, that's where the teacher wants to communicate, and it's difficult. That's one problem. But then there's another level where it's not even an issue of communication. It's just something which the teacher or the person is experiencing cerebrally, and that is something beyond communication. So within the thrust to communicate, there's also a level beyond communication altogether, which maybe there's no thought of communicating. However, we now come to try to explain, you know, why there is this structure of the general and the detail. And the idea is that in relation to the details, whatever it is that we're understanding, in relation to the details, okay, we're able to cope with the details. We can think about them, we can examine them, because we're taking them one by one. And, you know, we may understand more, may understand less. The general teaching, which contains everything, in a sense, is always beyond us. There's a level. I mean, there's one kind of general teaching where you can say, you know, like, someone asked Hillel, what is the, you know, tell me Judaism while I stand on one foot. Tell me the whole Torah. He said, that which you don't like, don't do to others. That's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and learn. So there's like a general rule, a general principle that can be communicated. But this statement that we have at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, where God says the entire Torah, zip, a million books, all said in one moment, that's not communicated. It's not communicated. It's beyond us. Now, that level of being beyond, that's a very important thing, because part of our relationship with the Torah is the ability to recognize that the Torah is actually beyond us. So we're talking about the festival of Shavuot, when the Torah will be given and will be re-given and re-accepted by us. It's the recognition of the Torah as being something absolutely beyond. And that recognition imparts within us the ability to receive the Torah, both in its general and its detailed quality. Because if we were only dealing with the details, we would not have such a total acceptance or receptivity to the Torah. We have been opened up by the general. The general concept has sort of prepared our mind. It's a little bit like the melody before the discourse. This general total teaching of Torah opens the mind in such a way that then, and the heart, and the soul, and the whole being of the person, so that then the details are able to take root within the person. And then we have the idea that through the fact that we then take the details, not only do we get the general concept, which is beyond the details, but we even reach to something which is beyond that as well. You know, some sort of higher level. So there is that which is beyond the general rule as well. That we get that through the details. So there's a sense in which the detail itself enables us to connect, and then it comes down to us as well, enables us to connect to a level beyond the general principles. So we reach this absolutely exalted dimension. And that's because the root of the detail is higher than the general principle. We've got the general principle and then the detail. But the root is higher. Because somehow or other, the particular quality is rooted in a higher Kabbalistic source at a higher level. And so therefore, we have an interesting situation going back to the teacher and the pupil. The pupil starts asking questions. The teacher has given the general rule. Okay, very lovely. He wrote something on the blackboard or the whiteboard, and he's communicating that, and the teacher and the pupil is looking at that, and now the teacher's going into all the details. The pupil, the student who's grappling with the details, asks a question from the teacher. That question goes back to the root of everything. There's a sense in which, or might go, there's a sense in which the teacher himself is illuminated by the question asked by the pupil. That's why we have the statement that I've learned from everyone, but from my students I've learned more than anyone, than from anyone. Because the detail, on the level of the detail and understanding the detail, there is this reach to this higher level. Now this is also what happens with the giving of the Torah, that we have the Torah given in general, and then the Ten Commandments, and then all the other stages further on. And at every stage, it's the entry into the details that enable us to go to the higher level. So there's all the time this reach to the higher level. So it's not enough to just learn the written Torah, we need the oral Torah. It's not enough to just learn the Mishnah, we need the Talmud. And then all the further dimensions of communicating the Talmud in Halakha, in the Rambam, the Code of Law, and so on. So all the time going further into the details, and through those details drawing from this higher level. And it's that effort that we make, making that effort to understand Torah, and particularly the Pnimiyot HaTorah, the inner dimension of Torah, this dimension of Torah, helps us reach to this higher level, first of all to the general dimension of Torah, and then to an even higher level, the root, which is absolutely exalted. And then we bring that down and we see it within all the details of the Torah and the life that we're living, and there we see that expression of the divine in our daily world.